Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. These are very well-known verses in the Christian world and in the church world. If you're there, say, I am. If you're not, say, hold up. All right, everybody's on time today. Listen, let me read this as we go. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I said this Wednesday night, anytime that they say, now James uses it a lot, and we're studying James on Wednesday nights. You need to be there. It's an incredible, incredible study. But anytime he uses brothers and sisters, he's reiterating the fact, hey, this is a family matter. We need to talk. But he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. How many of you want to be acceptable in Jesus' eyes? This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy. Everybody say, don't copy. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you that you made us with purpose. You made us on purpose for a purpose. And God, I pray that you would seal this in our hearts today. Let your spirit move throughout this room and help us to know, Lord, that you brought us here for such a time as this. Let my words be few, your words be powerful. And let your spirit guide and direct us today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let me give you a little bit of science real quick. Anybody really good at science when you were younger? Okay, I hope Allison was, because I know she's a nurse. But and Claire was. There's a few others that are really good. I was horrible at science. I was not good at science. I was an English and a math guy. Usually it's one or the other, but I really liked English and math. Those are things that I really enjoyed. But a little bit of science. The brain, the mind of a child. If we could get into the mind of a child, we could have so much fun. And we could learn so much from them. But as a child's mind develops, even in the womb, the child's mind begins to develop around the third gestational week. And the brain function begins to develop, and things start developing, and the neurons start firing, and things start forming, and all these things happen. I'm not a science guy, so I don't know all the technical terminology and all that, but it continues to develop throughout the pregnancy, and the comprehension starts to go through the roof once they're born. They don't come out going, hello, mother, hello, father, I'm so glad to meet you. It's not that they come out ready to go, okay? They need to learn. But the thing is, a child can learn so much quicker and so much better than an adult can. I'm telling you. If you don't believe me, then tell a child not to do something that is younger, and tell an adult not to do something. That adult ain't going to listen to you. The child is going to listen to you a whole lot better than the adult is. And they're going to pay attention to you a little bit. They always say that you need to teach a child multiple languages when they're younger because they're going to retain it quicker and retain it faster. Case in point, my buddy Mark Sasser, he went to be a missionary in Peru. And they were going through language school down in Costa Rica. And as he was going through language school, him and his wife, they were struggling. I mean, they were in their late 30s, and they were struggling to learn this language to minister to the people in Peru. His kids were going through the same classes, and they were like rattling off like they were indigenous people, and they were like talking. They would have to translate for their parents when they got down to Peru. And their kids were like, I think the oldest was 13 when he was there. The oldest was 13. The youngest, I think, was 10 or 9. Somewhere around there. But their minds change, and the cognitive abilities after that child is born continues to develop. The cognitive abilities, the reasoning abilities, the problem solving. There are two processes that are contributing factors to the development of the mind. There's molecular events, basically the genes of somebody. It does have something to say about the parents, when you put them together, there is something about the molecular in the genes that does determine some of the cognitive abilities. I'm so sorry to my kids. I want to take the time to apologize to them now for that. But I'm glad that they got their mother's side of the brain thing, okay? But they got the good looks of me. I'm going to go, no, I just messed up. I apologize for that. I will pay for that later on. But listen, the molecular events, those genes, some of y'all ladies are going, oh my gosh, he is dead. But then there's also the environmental input. What happens around them? They say if you play classical music around babies, it'll help their cognitive abilities, they'll develop and all that. There's a fascinating fact that I came across during my studies. A child's brain, after the child is born, a child's brain increases in size 4 times during their preschool years. And by the time that they reach 6 years old, by the time they reach the age of 6 years old, their brain is 90% the size of an adult's brain. So that means that little Ellis next door has got as much brains as I do. I'm not sure whether I like that or not. But the thing is, he has the cognitive ability. He has the same abilities. But as we learn throughout our years, sometimes that can change. And again, they have such potential when they're young, amen? But then something happens right around 12, 13, 10 years old for some of them, 11 years old. All of a sudden, something happens between that age of 11 and 13 where all of a sudden every child in the world gets brain damage. And all of a sudden, you can't tell them nothing. They're running. All the parents dealing with kids and grandkids right now going, yes, Lord, heal them, Jesus. But it feels that way. And you can't tell them anything. But the thing is, the processes that we have learned through the years and the influences on our thinking have shaped us into who we are today. I am who I am because of what my parents did with me. When I was growing up, my parents, they were very good about taking me to church. They were very good about making sure that I did my homework. I remember sitting at the kitchen table going, Mama, I don't know how to do it. And she'd look at me and go, I don't know either. Figure it out. But the thing is, the process we've learned and the influences has shaped our thinking. There's learned behavior that is stored away in our memories. I remember Amy even mentioned it the other day. She said, my neck was hurting. She said, I know why your neck's hurting. I said, why? She said, it's because I walked in the other day and you were asleep and you were laying in that same position that you used to lay in all the time, and that the kids all do the exact same thing. It's learned behavior. They saw me do it, so they kick back and they do the whole thing. You learn things as you grow. You learn things in your household from your parents, from the way that they act, the way that they talk, the way that they walk. Parents, let me give you this encouragement. Know that your kids are watching you even when they're not watching you. You teach by your example, not your words. You teach by how you act, not by what you say. Now, hopefully those two things line up. Amen? If you're with me, say I am. But learned behavior is stored away in our minds. There are times when we have to get rid of excess baggage in our minds that has shaped us in a way that is not good. Some of us learn from our parents how to cuss somebody. Some of us learn from our parents how to not raise a child. Some of us learn from our parents, And this is learned behavior. We learn that we motivate by shaming, or we motivate by yelling, or we motivate by abuse, mental, physical, emotional, whatever it might be. And we had to unlearn some of those things. Everybody say unlearn. There are some things we got to get rid of. Just because your parents did it, or just because great-grandma did it, or just because so-and-so did it does not mean it's right. And I just sounded really country right then. Doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean it's right. Sometimes we have to go back and we have to deconstruct those things and look through our past and go, you know what? This is not a good situation. I don't need to treat my child this way. I don't need to treat my employee this way. I don't need to treat my boss this way. And we have to go back and we have to relearn some things. Amen? That's why today's message is all about get your mind right. Turn the person next to you and say, get your mind right. Get your mind right. The processes we've learned, we have to unlearn sometimes. There are times when we have to get rid of that excess baggage. We can be trained to think in certain ways that can harm us rather than help us. We can be trained to think. If you stand over, I remember hearing a story about somebody that they went to school. And they decided they would mess with somebody. So every time that them and their friends would walk by a certain person, they'd say, are you feeling okay? Because you don't look good. And then somebody else would walk by 5 minutes, like, you feeling okay? You don't look good. The person's like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't know what y'all talking about. By about the third period, all of a sudden that person's going, man, I need to check out. I don't feel good. Why? Because of people speaking over them. Some of us need to learn that the things people speak over us don't have any effect on who we are. And we've got to unlearn that in our mind. People may have told you you're worthless or may have told you that you're never going to make it in your past, but we have to unlearn those things. There's a case in point that I want to mention about this. There's a book called Leaders Eat Last. And it's based on the military. It's based on the Marines that we are so appreciate today. But the author speaks to military personnel about the training methods, and each of the drill instructors interviewed said that their goal was to tear down that recruit, tear down that member, tear them down to the bare essentials to where there is nothing standing, and then rebuild them the right way. That was the way that they were, and some of us need to go back into our past and the way that we have been taught in church, the way that we've been taught in Sunday school, and we need to tear down some buildings that have been built up in us of tradition, and buildings that have been built up in us of judgment, and buildings that have been built up in us of wrong expectations from people, and we need to tear them down to the bare essentials and go, okay, we need to rebuild using the building blocks of Jesus Christ, rather than the building blocks of man and the traditions of man. If you're with me, say I am. I know this is getting a little deep already, but we are talking about the mind. Say, get your mind right. They broke them down mentally so that they could mold them into the soldier that they could be and be a benefit not only to themselves but those around them. My goal today is to walk you through the importance of your mind and your thought process. Because some of us need to change our processes. Some of us need to change our thinking. I've heard it said, some of us need to change our stinking thinking. I want to show you that if we are to ever become who God created us to be, we can no longer think the way that our flesh wants to think. We can no longer let this flesh control this and this. I want to not only show you that, but to give you the tools to enact true change. How many of you want to change for the better? I want to give you the tools to change for the better and to change through your process, through your process, so that you can be the man or the woman of God that you were created to be. If you're with me, say, I am. Let's dive in. Because the mind is the gateway for change. Your mind is the gateway for change. If you want to change something about yourself, it has to start here. You can't just walk around and expect it to happen. I was not a good student in school. I'm going to be honest with you. I was not a good student. I did not like school. I did not study as much as I should have. I did not make good grades. I made decent grades, but I wasn't really good. It wasn't because of anything anyone ever told me, but I scraped by on just my natural talent and personality most of the time in school, and I convinced myself that I could not learn. I listened to the internal voice. Anybody ever had that internal voice? I listened to that internal voice that said, you're not as smart as your brother or your sister. I listened to that internal voice that said, you're never going to understand what the teacher's talking about, so you might as well just goof off. You're never going to understand it, so you might as well just quit. And I was just, it was horrible. I wasn't the kid that was making straight A's in school. My brother was a genius. He still is. And he's so smart. My sister, great grades, great heart. My brother, great grades, did great, got a scholarship, went to Huntington for a while, went to Southeastern College, graduated from Southeastern with a ministry degree, and he does so much now, and I'm so proud of him, and I'm glad he's doing great. But I would listen to that voice on the inside of me telling me, you're never going to reach that. They're sitting there studying. I'm over there with the glue. And putting it on my hand going, look, I made a glove, and acting goofy in school. That's just who I was. And I convinced myself that I was not going to make good grades. Because I convinced myself of this, my grades and my intellect did not matter to me much. But as I grew older, something changed in me. And God said, it's time to start realizing you've got things wrong. And I had to change the way that I think. So I relearned how to study. I relearned how to go after God. I relearned how to study the Word of God and how to study my school courses. I had convinced myself that I could not learn from a book. But then, just in the past 10 years, my outlook on these things have changed. Before I could fix the external problem that I had of not being able to study, I had to change up here. I had to tell myself, I can do this. I am smart enough to do this. I do have enough brains to study, and I can take care of this situation. Before I could fix the external problem, I had to fix the internal issue of my mind and the way I was thinking. The greatest limiter, let me tell you something, the greatest limiter of your potential is inside of you. You are your greatest limiter. When you look at your life in Christ, many of us sit there and go, well, I can't do that. I'd never be able to stand up and preach the Word. I'd never be able to live every single day the way I'm supposed to. I'll never be able to follow Christ the way so-and-so does or so-and-so does. And we get it in our mind and we convince ourselves, I'm not going to be as good a Christian as they are. I'm not going to be as strong as they are. And we get it in our minds and we start to tell ourselves that we're not good enough. And next thing you know, you set the lid of where you're going to be in your walk with Christ. If you think that you're only going to be somebody that sits in a pew and you're never going to be able to contribute, that's all you'll ever be. If you think that you're going to be somebody who never really does anything great for God and that you're just going to go through the motions and scrape by the skin of your teeth, and when you get into heaven, you're sliding in between the gates that just as they're shutting them because you don't think you're going to make it, that's the way you're going to live. But God gives us the power to live a holy and a pleasing life unto Him. Amen? He gives us that power. He gives us that strength. We are our greatest limiter. Paul had just challenged the church in Rome to do more than just what was necessary, but take it a step further. Romans 12:1, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. The King James says it this way, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God. He's telling him, listen, the world has an opinion of what's acceptable, but that's not the opinion that we need to be listening to. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Give yourselves to God. See, the world looks at us and says, you don't have to be all that and go after God the way that you do. The world tells us you don't have to scream and shout and speak in tongues. The world tells us you don't have to show up to church every single Sunday. The world tells us you don't have to read your Bible every day. The world tells us you don't have to be a witness for Him. You don't have to do all the crazy things that you do. The world has that opinion, but that's not the opinion we should be listening to. We have to learn that God has called us beyond what the world thinks is necessary. If you're with me, say I am. Y'all awful quiet today. It's like Tim Tebow. Anybody know who Tim Tebow is? Tim Tebow, for those of you that don't know, was quarterback for the Florida Gators way back when. Led them to two back-to-back national championships. Great, great guy. Was a Heisman winner. Incredible man. His father was a missionary, or his parents were missionaries, and they helped overseas, all that kind of stuff. And he served God his entire life. I mean, of course, he's probably done like all of us and made a few mistakes here and there. But Tim Tebow now is a commentator, and he's played for the Denver Broncos. He's played baseball. I mean, he's just, and the dude is huge. I'm talking about, he is so strong and so big, and he's just huge. But Tim Tebow, nobody thought that he was going to be a good quarterback. Nobody thought he was going to be good at being a quarterback in the NFL. And has he been the best quarterback? No. But he got put on the Denver Broncos at one point, or they accepted him, and he took over in the middle of the season and ended up leading them to all the way to the playoffs. And I can't remember how far into the playoffs they went, but he ended up doing a great job for them. He didn't believe what the world said about him. He didn't believe the standards that the world put on him. He didn't believe the words that they said, well, he just doesn't have the strength, he doesn't have the speed, he doesn't have the size, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that, he doesn't have the intellect, and he refused to believe that. Church, listen to me. We can't believe what the world says when it says you don't have to do all of that and still love Jesus. Paul went to the Romans and said, here's my problem. See, Tim Tebow, he could have caved in and said, you know what, I'm going to try to be like everybody else. And as a matter of fact, here's the problem that I have with this situation. While he was playing for the Denver Broncos, the owner of the Broncos had a very, very bad opinion of Tim Tebow. Because every time Tim Tebow got on stage, every time he got on a microphone, he would share Jesus Christ. Because he was that kind of man. And the owner of the Broncos actually said, I wish he would leave his religion outside the door. And Tim could have said, you know what? I understand. You're my boss. I'm going to leave it alone. But he didn't. And he kept speaking the word of God. He kept speaking his owner wanted him to conform to the view that he had. He wanted him to conform to who he wanted him to be. He wanted to shape into who he wanted him to be, so that he would not share Jesus Christ from the microphone. He had a choice to either conform to what that man said or be changed. He could either do what he was asked, or he could say, "You know what? My God is greater. And my God is stronger, and I want to give my life to Him, and He is the one that I have to follow." Paul went on in Romans after Romans 12:1, in Romans 12:2, he said, "Here's my problem with you guys. Do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world." We've gotten to where we copy this world a lot. In the way that we think, and the way that we walk, the way that we talk, the way that we act. If you're with me, say I am. Even though this church in Philadelphia, the Philippian church, even though this church was thriving and growing, they were also allowing the outside world to alter and impact their beliefs. They were copying the behaviors of the people around them. Church, we're called to be set apart, amen? We're called to be different. They were letting their minds and their thought processes be influenced by the world around them. Because of this, their growth, their walk, and their impact on their city was minimized. Let me share this with you. As long as we let the world and our flesh and our human nature shape our thoughts, our beliefs, our opinions, we will never be the living sacrifice Paul speaks of. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In order to be living sacrifices to Him, we cannot copy the world down here. We can't accept what the world says about us. We can't accept what the world says is the standard. God, before we can change our... see, as long as we let this, I'm getting ahead of myself. I do that from time to time. Let me slow down. Paul tells us to be living sacrifices, but then he tells us that in order to do that, we have to change this. We have to change how we think. Before we can change here, the body, before we can change this person, before I can change who I am, I have to change my thinking up here. God has called us to be different and holds us to a different standard from this world. John 15, 19, the world would love you as one of its own. It's Jesus speaking to his disciples. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. We don't belong here, church. This is a temporary place. This is a temporary dwelling place. This body that I live in is not my eternal home. This world is not my eternal home. One day God is going to come back and he's going to say, okay, enough of you being on vacation. It's time to come home and spend some time with me. It's time for you to come and enjoy what I've created for you. It's time for you to come and be with me. He says, the world would love you as its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. God has called you to be different. It's so easy to fall into the mindset of this world. With all the news footage that we watch, and with all, and well, that makes sense. It makes sense that we do this, and it makes sense that we do that. It makes sense that God is not going to punish me for this. It makes sense that I can have this in my life and still serve God. It makes sense that if God is really a merciful God, then this is not going to matter in my life, and I don't have to be at church all the time. I don't have to change my life the way that the church tells me. Paul tells us the means by which we need to transform our bodies, though, into living sacrifices. Everybody say transform. In Romans 12, 2, don't copy the behavior of the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The character, listen to this real close, the character of our heart is determined by the thoughts we allow to take root in our mind. The character of our hearts is determined by the thoughts we allow to take root in our mind. The things that we allow to grow inside of us. The character will shape us into who we are going to be. Our mind is the incubator that gives life to the thoughts that develop who we are. What we allow to dwell here will eventually come out here. Does that make sense? What we allow here will eventually come out here and eventually come out through here. What is incubated in our minds is eventually birthed in our hearts and then brought to life with our actions. If I'm thinking in my mind, I'm just going to, if I allow sinful thoughts, or if I allow complacent thoughts, if I allow things to dwell here, eventually I'm going to, when I allow them to take root, they take root not only here, but they take root in my heart, and they will eventually come out in my actions. That's what we call the fruit of our labors, the fruit of what we have. I want my fruit to be pleasing to God. When we have thoughts that come into our minds, now, everybody's always asking me, well, if I have a stray thought that goes through my mind, like, I'm going to kill that person, does that mean that I've sinned? No. But if you sit there and plan it out, and you're sitting there dwelling on those thoughts, see, having a stray thought go through your mind is not the sin. It's when you grab a hold of it and let it start to take root inside of you, and that's when all of a sudden the bitterness comes into your heart, and bitterness comes into your mind, or the hatred, or the sin, or whatever it is, and it begins to get a hold on you, and the longer you let it stay there, the more painful and the harder it's going to be to rip it out by the roots. That's why we have to catch them early. That's why we have to catch our thoughts early. Everybody say, get your mind right. We have to catch them early. guard the gateway of your mind. In order to develop into who God has created us to be, we have to get our minds right, and the rest will follow. And you may be going, okay, well, how do I get my mind right? Because I know I have all kinds of thoughts all day long that I'm ready, that would send me to hell if I ain't careful. Because it's real easy to let your mind drift. And real, the way to get your mind right is this. First thing you have to do is you have to diagnose the thought. Everybody say diagnose. You have to diagnose the thought. We might know the problem is our thoughts, but how do we determine which ones are detrimental and which ones are beneficial? We have to diagnose, okay, is this a thought that is going to build me up, or is this a thought that is going to tear me down? Is this a thought that's going to strengthen me, or is it a thought that's going to hurt me in my life? When you're, again, apparently I have a problem with road rage or something, because I keep going to this example. When you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, if you have that stray thought that goes through your mind and you go, oh, I hope you wreck and just a ball of fire, you're ready to just yell and scream and holler at people. Anybody else like that? Or am I the only sinner in the room? Okay, we got a couple of us. But the thing is, if that thought grabs hold and you can let one stray thought ruin your entire day. If you don't change it, if you don't recognize, hey, this is not good for me. My favorite way to explain this is just simply called filter. Everybody say filter. The Philippians 4:8, where it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. When you have thoughts into your mind, you got to put them through a filter. Okay, that person just cut me off. I'm thinking that I want to rear end them and run over them. Is that a pure thought? No. Is that a righteous thought? No. Is it a praiseworthy thought? No. If anything, so you know what? It doesn't pass that filter, so I need to diagnose it as one that needs to be taken out. When we are sitting there scrolling through the TV or scrolling through our satellite system or whatever, and all of a sudden we get on this show and it's got some issues and some things in it, and maybe it has some nudity in it, or it's a ton of cussing in it, or this or that or the other. All of a sudden we're going, you know what? Is this praiseworthy? Is it pure? Is it righteous? And we have to judge those things. We have to filter what goes into our mind. Because if we don't, they grab a hold and they start taking root. If you're with me, say, I am. Somebody doesn't shake our hand at church. Well, they don't like me. They don't like me. They don't appreciate me the way that they should. They don't treat me the way that they need to treat me. And all of a sudden that thought goes through our mind, and you got to go, okay, is this praiseworthy? Is it righteous? Is it just? Is it true? And that's the thing. We a lot of times we'll let lies speak to us. We'll let lies speak to us. This mental checklist is something that has saved me countless times. As I let a thought run through my mind, I go, okay, is this something that is true? If I don't know if it's true or not, I need to go ahead and toss it out. Is it something that's noble? Is it something that I would be proud for other people to know that I'm thinking about? No, I need to get rid of it. Is it something that is just, or is it something that is just vengeance on my part? Whatever things are pure. Is it a pure thought? Is it a lovely thought? Is it a good report? See, some of us need to use this when it comes to speaking about other people. Because if your words are being used to tear down somebody else, we need to put it through that filter as well. Again, the words start as a thought. And we have to change that. We have to change the way that we think. What we allow through this filter is what will take root in us and develop in us. This verse alone helps us weed out and separate our thoughts into categories. good and bad, right and wrong. It's something that we already do on a regular basis. Spiritually, if our enemy can overwhelm and flood our gateway to who we are with impure, unfruitful, inappropriate thinking, he can alter who we were created to be. If Satan can ever get a foothold here, he can wreak havoc in our lives. He can cause chaos in our spiritual walk with him. Spiritually, if our enemy can overwhelm that, he can do whatever he wants. We have to learn to identify and diagnose the thoughts that enter our mind. Will this help me grow? Here's a few questions you can ask. Will it help me grow? Will it build me up, or will it build others up? Is this what Scripture tells me about myself? Because the enemy's going to whisper to us all day long, you're not worthy. You can't do this. You're not strong enough. But is it something that the Scripture says about us? If it's not what the Scripture says, and I don't want to hear it, where does this thought come from, my flesh or my spirit? Once we identify that thought for what it is, we then have to make a choice to discard the destructive ones. So we've got to diagnose and we've got to discard. Everybody say discard. Are y'all still with me today? As those destructive thoughts get caught in that filter, we have to take control of them and discard them as quickly as possible. Our thought life is a battle we have to win control over. We have to take control of. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. This is New King James. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How do you control these thoughts and discard them? See, we're in a battle. We're in a fight. And I'm not talking about the one you were in with your wife or your husband before you walked into the room. We're in a battle, in a spiritual battle, where we have to fight against those thoughts on a regular basis. Once we identify them, how do we discard them? How do we get rid of them? How do we make sure that they don't take root? It's very simple. Very simple. The same way you dispel and refute every other lie. How do you control what goes into your mind? The same way you dispel every other lie with the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. If you have a question about whether that word that's in your mind, that the thought life is strong enough, or whether that thought life is proper, go to the Word of God, because that is where our standard lies. In John 17:17, make them holy by your what? Your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. God's word is truth. Again, the standard is not what the world says about you. Let me say that again. The standard is not what the world says about you. The standard of who you are was set long ago when Jesus Christ came down and died on a cross and was whipped and beaten and died on a cross. And he said who you were. He said you are chosen. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a chosen one of God. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High, who has said that you belong to me, and I don't care what this world says about you. You are my righteousness. You take my righteousness upon you. You take my strength upon you. I know the world says you're not strong enough to survive. I know the world says you're not strong enough to do what God has called you to do. But I, the Lord, says you can, because all things are possible for them that believe in Jesus, for those that are who in Christ Jesus. Listen, the world may tell you it's impossible for you to live a holy life, but my God says it is. The world will say it's impossible for you to recover. The world will say it's impossible for you to give that up. The world will tell you it's impossible for you to live a life that's pleasing to God. But God's word is the truth. The standard we go by is not what the world says, but what God says. If you're with me, say, I am. We have to discard those thoughts. We need to learn to take the spiritual sword to every errant thought and replacing it with the words of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, for all scripture is God breathed. Is God breathed. The very voice that breathed the world into existence. The very God who spoke and light came. The very God who spoke and the atoms formed into man. The very God who took his own breath and breathed it deep into inside of Adam himself said, all scripture is God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. The truth shall set you free. The truth will give you the right path. The truth will help you get rid of those thoughts that don't need to be there. If you're with me, say I am. I know I'm having y'all talk a lot this morning, but I want you to get this today. As you replace those words of the enemy, learn to walk in the promise and the power of the words that God speaks over you. God looks at you, or the world looks at you and says, we're just here. But God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The world says, everything happens by chance. But God says, I know the plans I have for you. The world says, you take care of yourself and let the world fend for itself. But God says, love your neighbor as yourself. The world will tell you that people always want something from you. And they never love you without wanting something in return. But God says, I love you with an everlasting love. And I care for you more deeply than you could ever think of. The world says, take care of yourself. But the Bible says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. Learn to deploy the words that God says about you. Learn to put into practice those God thoughts. Learn to deploy the will of God by allowing His Holy Spirit access to your thought life. Not just access, but complete control. Romans 8, 5, and 6 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Again, your mind is going to control your actions. Your mind is what's going to tell you what to do. So what we put in our minds is what is going to control where we go. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the flesh, what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind is governed by the flesh. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You want to know why you don't have life and peace? It's because you're living according to the flesh that you're allowing to control your mind, control your thoughts, control how you treat yourself, control what you think about yourself, control what you think about others, when we need to start letting the Holy Spirit speak inside of us and say, listen, here's what I say about you. Here's what I've asked you to do. Here's what I say can happen. Here's the miracles that I've got for your life. And as long as we let the Holy Spirit have control of our minds, we will have that life and peace that we desire. I'm getting more excited about it than y'all are. I'm glad, because it's time to be transformed. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. offer your bodies as living sacrifices. But as living sacrifices, we cannot be that living sacrifice until we get fixed here. Until we have in our mind. Until we decide, I'm not going to let this flesh control who I serve. I'm not going to let the flesh decide where I go. I'm going to let the Spirit. When we allow the Holy Spirit access and control to our thoughts, we are handing God the tools to transform us into the image He desires for us. Our thought life and our mind is a gateway for change. You may be wondering why you haven't changed in your life since you gave your life to Christ. You feel like you've been stuck in a rut, and you feel like you can't get past it, and it's like nothing ever changes in your life. Well, you know what? It may be time to change your stinking thinking. It may be time to get away from that thought process of that you've been taught your entire life. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But what takes root in the heart begins in the head. The way God changes and transforms us in a permanent way is not just the heart. I'm just going to walk away from that now. We let our emotions control us a lot of times. If I let my emotions control me my entire life, I wouldn't get up in the mornings. Because there are some days I don't want to get up. There are some days where my emotions say, you know what, you need to stay in bed because it's been a bad day. It's been a bad week. There are days I don't feel like serving God. There are days I don't feel like forgiving the people in my past. I was having an argument with God this morning on the way in as I was driving over the hill. Because I had thoughts going through my mind from my past about somebody that did me wrong. Somebody who walked on my spirit. And made sure I knew my place. You know what I mean? I was having an argument with God about that. And I was like, God, what? Why did I even have to go through that? Again, I'm getting ready to preach this message this morning. And God said, hey, are you even paying attention to what you're going to preach this morning? Because you're letting something that happened years and years ago take you down a path that you don't need to go. You're letting your mind, those thoughts that should not be there, you're letting them take root inside of you again. And you're letting bitterness start to take root again inside of your heart because of something that happened that you'd already forgiven years ago. But Satan is bringing it back up at this point and at this moment because he knows that your mind is weak and you need to start taking control of that. But God, they did me wrong. I know. But you can't control what they did. You can only control what you do. I can't control what happened to me years ago. I can't control what people say about me. I can't control how people treat me. I can only control my response to them and how I respond in my mind. Because once I control what's in my mind, my actions will follow. If you're with me, say I am. Stand with me today. This is one of those messages where it was hard for me to preach. I know that probably came across. Because it's something I still fight on a daily basis. Can I let you in on a little secret? Can I peel back the curtain a little bit? Don't tell Amy, but I'm not perfect. She still thinks I am, so just shh, don't tell her. I make mistakes on a regular basis. There are things I battle and I struggle with. And I have to daily give to God. There were thoughts. It's amazing how Satan works and how the enemy works. When he knows that I'm going to be preaching a message like this, what does he attack? He attacks my mind. And he tries to make me think, you can't even do it yourself. How can you tell other people to do it? It doesn't matter. Because I know I'm not perfect. And I know God forgives me. And if he can forgive a sinner like me, he can forgive you. If he can help me in my weakened state and who I am. I ain't strong. I ain't perfect. I ain't great. I'm not the be-all, end-all. I make mistakes on a regular basis. But God looks down at me and says, but if you control your mind, you control your actions. Start here. Don't worry about here. This will come. This will come when we get this under control. When we start to say, is this pure? Is this thought pure? Is it holy? Is it righteous? Is it praiseworthy? Is it something that I need to take root? Is it something that if it was taken, I remember Steve Hill back at the Brownsville Revival, he talked about a big screen being put up in heaven. And if our lives were projected, if our thoughts were projected on that screen, would we be happy or would we be ashamed? What I'm asking you to do is before they reach that projector, put them through that filter and say, it's time to edit that out. It's time to edit that hatred out. It's time to edit that bitterness out. It's time to edit that weakness out. If you're with me, say I am. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today, maybe God is dealing with you about your thought life. It may be that the world tells you you're something that you're not, and you've started to believe it. It may be that you're dwelling on issues from your past. It may be that you're letting past hurts control who you are today. But it's time to start looking at your mind and start to pulling things out by the roots. If you're in this room today and you know that your thought life has not been what it needs to be, or maybe this is something that you feel like was meant for you, and that you need some strength and you need the power to uproot some thoughts that have taken root inside of your mind and in your heart today that are pulling you down a wrong path. If that's you today and you feel like you need to if you just want us to pray for you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Father God, with every head bowed, every eye closed, Lord, we lay all of our thoughts before you. Lord, I know that this is an issue that I personally deal with. It's an issue that is going through the church right now. And the fact that we don't filter what we think anymore. And we don't put it through the filter of Scripture. We put it through the filter of the world. God, I pray that you would remind us that, Lord, the world is not our standard. The world is not what we concentrate on. What the world says about us and what the world wants us to think about is not what we need to be thinking about. But that, God, we need to put it through the filter of the truth, which is the Word of God. Remind us, God, that you give us the strength to do this. We can because you have said it. We are healed because you have said it. We are saved because you have said it. You, God, have set the standard inside of us. Now, God, we ask you to come into this room and touch their hearts. In Jesus' name, Lord, change the way we think so that we can be transformed into living, walking, living, breathing sacrifices for you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.